We're discussing bullying this morning. We heard the astonishing story of that lady from Swindon. She didn't want her name out there, so we've agreed not to tell you her name. Her daughter, she had to send her to live with her grandparents in Salisbury in order to escape bullies at school, which I find absolutely incredible. But whose fault is it? Is it down to the parents? Is it down to the schools? Is it down to violence on TV? So many reasons why children bully other children, and so many of them unsubstantiated hearsay with no real basis, in fact. So why do some kids decide to lash out and bully other children? David Wolfson is an anger management specialist from angerplanet.co.uk, and he focuses his work on children and teenagers. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So why, in your opinion, do children bully other children?
Well, Ollie, there are a number of reasons, but the first thing I would like to say before talking about any of the reasons, that although there are many, many kids with the same predisposing factors towards bullying, most of them choose to solve their problems non-violently. And so it is a choice to some degree. It becomes a personal choice of the individual to choose violence and aggression. So there are many kids who might have the factors which might lead them to bullying, but don't.
But bullying's not always physical. It can be, mental abuse, can't it?
No, well, when I say violence and aggression, I'm talking about mental as well.
Right,
as
OK, as you class that as the same thing.
Absolutely. And one thing we do know is that bullies are taught to bully. They're not born that way. It may be their underlying temperament combined with influences from home, from school, from the community, or even from the media that allow bullying behaviour to flourish.
So where do the main influences then come from? Is it home? Is it school?
It's all of them. It's a number of things. I mean, for example, one set of children may be surrounded by violence at home and in their community, and they may get the messages that violence is okay, that violence is the way to solve problems, and that power is expressed through violence.
So it's kind of monkey see, monkey do.
Absolutely. I did a programme a couple of years ago around the Zinedine Zidane incident at the World Cup, and one of the things that really came up was the fact that he was brought up in a very violent area of Marseille, and the norm was that the way to be powerful was to be violent and to fight and to hit, and that's how you expressed your personal power. So if you're brought up with those messages, then it's very hard at one level to shake them off. But as I say, most kids choose not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, not every kid is a bully, but every school has a school bully, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, there are bullies in every school. That's absolutely correct.
Let's talk about what you do. I mean, how do you make a child, for instance, if you had to speak to one, how do you make them realise that what they're doing is wrong? And do they actually listen?
I think at one level they always know what they're doing is wrong, but they build up a sort of a very brittle defence mechanism, because bullying is often a defence mechanism. I mean, there's a debate about whether bullies all suffer from low esteem, low self-esteem. My personal opinion is yes, though I know that some researchers take a different view. And quite often, if you go from the starting point that you have low self-esteem, then what do you do with that? You punish others for how you're feeling. So one of the things that I will teach young people to do is how to access feelings and how to move from anger and aggression into the feelings that are driving that anger and aggression.
How would you do that?
It takes time. It takes time. I can't give you an ABC of how I do it, but it is really about teaching them how to communicate feelings, how to access them, how to become empathetic. It's also through doing a lot of role plays. Sometimes I'll sit in a session with a young guy or a young woman, and I'll say, let's swap roles. I'll be you, you be me, see what you can get out of me. And then they very quickly see that in order to communicate, they need to get out of their own heads and start thinking about what's going on for other people. So bullies are very, very, very often unable to access empathy, and it's often because they've never experienced empathy.
Were you a bully at school, or were you the bullied?
I certainly wasn't a bully. I think I was occasionally bullied once or twice, but I don't think I suffered serial bullying. No, that wasn't what led me to anger management specifically.
When it's always the case that one kid seems to be that gets picked on, and then why is it kind of a mob mentality? They see one kid is weak, and someone goes from there and goes, "Oh, he's an easy target," and everybody does it.
It's something like that. I mean, there's very strict hierarchies in schools about who are the most popular, and it's usually to do with, especially with boys, it's usually to do with who's either the most athletic, who's the tallest or who's the best looking. And anyone who's different and anyone who doesn't fit in will qualify for being bullied or at the minimum for name calling because they break the number one group rule, which is be like us. And this is especially true if you're an overweight kid or if you're an effeminate boy, for example.
Yeah.
And this is why kids are desperate to fit in, because as soon as they don't fit in, it's noticed. But kids are inherently very, very conservative.
Does it work, David? Because, you know, I think if a lot of children, you know, if I was a child and I was sat in a room with you and we did some role play on anger management, I'd probably walk out and go, whatever, you know, as kids do. Do kids actually come away and think, you know, that man's got a point?
Well, all I can say is maybe you should try it, Ollie. And you.
Oh no, I'm not saying I need it or anything. But I'm saying, as a kid of 13 or 14.
No, what I'm saying to you is, as kids do, actually isn't correct, because for a lot of these kids, it's actually a great relief to sit down. And I've been staggered. I've sat down with kids of 14, 15, 16 who are on the point of permanent exclusion from their schools. And I've sat down thinking, my goodness, how am I going to deal with this chap? And we start talking. And I actually find that they're so relieved and happy to actually talk to someone and have someone who's listening to them in the particular way in which I work, and to start accessing some feelings, because often they've been holding in stuff like behind a dam for a very, very long time. And the other thing, so just to run on a little, the other thing that often goes on is transference. If kids are unhappy at home, then they'll often punish people at school for how they're feeling about what's going on at home.
Yeah. I guess also you say that idea that they're so relieved to talk to you and finally talk about it, is that if you are a bully or you're the class clown or whatever, that's your role. Everybody knows that's who you are, and therefore you kind of get in this spiral where you feel you have to, you know, you can't possibly be anything else.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the class clown is a very, very interesting one. But as I said to you, in the hierarchy of the three traits that make boys popular, being athletic and tall and funny, if you're not athletic or tall, then, and you want to be popular, being funny is your best bet. And the best way to be funny is to make fun of other people in front of your friends.
Magic. Is that the fourth one?
Magic?
Yeah, you know, card tricks and stuff. David Blaine.
I guess that would work, yes. So anything that makes you interesting and attractive to other people, absolutely correct. I mean, maybe that's the strategy I could suggest in the future, but I believe that involves quite a lot of training.
Well, you could go into business with Paul Daniels or something. Again, he's not doing anything these days.
You could
swing him in.
That's
Debbie McGee, she could come along. Seriously, though, who are worse bullies? Because I've always thought girls would be worse bullies than boys.
Well, I think with boys, in a sense, the bullying is fairly out there and up front, because boys have a sort of strange sort of sense of justice, for example, that it's fair to bully someone back who's bullied you, and the retaliation has some kind of merit to it. And they get into a cycle of violence. Girls, often it's about them not being able to access their feelings, and it leads them to cruel and inappropriate acts, and diverting their feelings by backstabbing, spreading vicious rumours, excluding or giving someone the silent treatment. And certainly the level of psychological cruelty that I've experienced that young girls have dished out is, has been absolutely appalling, right the way from the age of 7 up to the age of 16. The girls are very, very good at it, and it's often more hidden, so it's harder to actually put your hand on it and manage it.
David, it's been absolutely fascinating speaking to you. I think the work you do sounds phenomenally interesting, and obviously it's very useful as well. Thank you so much for your time today.
That's a pleasure, Ollie.
David Wolfson, an anger management specialist from angerplanet.co.uk. Amazing. Actually, I think that's great that, you know, I always thought bullies, you know, they're just stuck in that kind of cycle and they'd never give it up. But as David said, you know, sometimes they're desperate for someone to tell them that they don't have to be like that. Yeah, fascinating.